Welcome to Prompted, the podcast where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. My name is Eric, and I'll be your host on this journey of creative exploration, where the boundaries between words and imagination blur. New episodes of Prompted will be released every Monday, so be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or you can listen directly from our website, thepromptedpodcast.org. In each episode, I explore creative writing through in-depth discussions in our deep dive segments. I will also feature my own original poetry and other writing inspired by the writing prompts from the previous week. And to keep it going, I'll share a new writing prompt at the end for you to try. I'd love to see what you're working on. Share your writing with me using the hashtag #PromptedPodcast on Blue Sky. I'm always eager to connect with listeners and hear how the prompts are inspiring you. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's creative writing journey. Welcome to this episode's deep dive, Characters Who Won't Shut Up. You know the ones, the characters who move into your head, rearrange the furniture, and refuse to pay rent. Some characters are polite. They wait their turn. They sip tea quietly in the corner of your imagination until you invite them to the page. But others, they crash through the door without knocking. They take over your thoughts at inconvenient hours, in the shower, at red lights, in the checkout line. They demand to be written, and they don't care about your plans. Today, we're going to talk about these relentless voices. Who are they? Why do they show up? And most importantly, how can you work with them instead of fighting them off like a literary exterminator? Why certain characters get loud. So why do some characters refuse to quiet down? First, it usually means you've tapped into something personal. These characters often carry a piece of your subconscious. They're whispering things you need to hear, even if you didn't invite them to the conversation. Second, they might represent untold tension. Maybe they embody a conflict you've been circling in your writing without really facing head on. Their persistence is a flashing neon sign. Hey, pay attention to me. Third, it can be sheer narrative chemistry. Some characters arrive fully formed, like they walk straight out of a smoky jazz club and into your manuscript. They have stories to tell, voices that crackle with life, and the audacity to tell you how to write them. For example, think of writers who hear their characters argue, interrupt, even mock them while drafting. If this happens to you, you're not alone. It's often a sign that your internal creative compass is locked onto something magnetic. Listening without losing control. All right, so you've got a noisy character. How do you listen to them without letting them derail your entire project? First, give them a sandbox. Open a side document or dedicate a few pages in your notebook to just let them rant. Let them pour out their backstory, their motives, their wild philosophies about life and death and tacos at 3 a.m. Sometimes they just need space to stretch their legs. Second, ask them questions. Treat it like an interview. Why are you so loud? What are you fighting for? Who did you leave behind? This builds depth while keeping you in the driver's seat. Third, set boundaries. Remember, you're the author, not a hostage. If a character wants to take over a story that isn't about them, you can say, not yet. But promise them you'll return. Make a note for a future piece. They'll usually settle down if they know they're not being ignored. I myself have had characters hijack my entire writing session, leading me far off my original outline. What did I learn? Let them talk, but keep your hand on the wheel. You're not a passenger, you're the captain of this ship, even if your first mate has a lot to say. It's a fine dance, this balance of control and chaos, but when you get it right, the story sings. Harnessing the energy. Now let's flip the script. A noisy character is not a problem to solve. They're a gift. That energy, that insistence, it's pure creative fuel. These characters often carry emotional intensity that can elevate your writing from good to unforgettable. Use their momentum. Let their passion infect your prose. Let their contradictions create tension on the page. Characters who won't shut up often lead to stories that readers can't put down. And here's the beautiful part. These loud characters can pull quieter ones into the spotlight. Like a charismatic friend at a party, they draw others out of their shells. Before you know it, your whole cast feels more alive. Consider using free writing sprints where you let this character narrate a scene in their own voice, even if it's not part of the main project. Let them speak. Here's the truth. Characters who won't shut up are the dreamers, the rebels, the troublemakers. They're also the ones who make your stories pulse with life. So don't shut them out. Let them speak. Let them rant. Let them whisper their secrets and scream their frustrations. Let them interrupt your carefully laid plans. Because in the end, writing is a conversation between you and the wild voices inside your head. And sometimes, the loudest ones have the most important things to say. Until next time, keep listening to the voices that won't let you sleep. They're the ones worth writing down. Now, let's dive into some brand new, freshly crafted microtales that have been simmering in my creative cauldron. These three original microfiction pieces are the result of some excellent writing prompts for the last week or so. I hope you enjoy. Speaking of characters who won't shut up, this next one didn't just speak, it felt like he woke me up just so I could write his story. It started with a writing prompt with three simple words: once, ashen, and backlit. But with one very specific rule: I couldn't use any of those words in the final piece. This kind of constraint forces me to explore tone and imagery in a sideways, slanted way. It becomes a creative puzzle, one where every solution adds more texture. So here's the pudding prophet of Yordhaven. I hope you enjoy. The facility was named Fjordhaven, but nothing had seen a fjord in decades. It smelled like lilacs and antiseptic. The furniture was blonde wood, the silence a shade of soft gray. Room 42B had a resident who wasn't on any of the charts. He'd arrived in the middle of a Wednesday, wheeled in by a nurse no one remembered hiring. He wore a robe embroidered with runes and juice stains, eyes like northern lights, hair like a broom on strike. "He keeps asking for the ancient spoons," muttered the head nurse. "And he speaks in, what is it, Danish iambic gibberish?" "He bit me," added Jan from physio, "gently, but with purpose." The man had renamed himself Elder Waffles, said the name came to him in a dream involving Bjork and a washing machine. He claimed to remember before time, before soup, before the great folding of socks. In the dining hall, he delivered sermons with his pudding, drew circles, spirals, and an eye that blinked when he didn't look straight at it. The other residents began following him. They pushed aside their knitting circles and started building monuments from prunes. "We are the crumbling ones," he whispered, "the forgotten engines, but dessert is the key. Eat what is sweet and you'll taste the truth." Then came the thunderstorm and the bingo cards that spelled out a prophecy and the discovery of an elevator that went nowhere except sometimes elsewhere. By Friday, the entire West Wing had vanished In its place, a garden of laughing tulips and a blue creature rolling in crumbs, muttering, "More, more." The second microfiction piece was inspired by the word prompt, waltz. A waltz isn't just a dance, it's a rhythm, a pattern, a connection between two people. For this piece, I wanted to explore the dance of memory and time, where things get stuck in loops and you find yourself spinning around in circles. Let's take a listen. No one remembered who built the dance hall, but everyone remembered her shoes. Red leather, one strap broken. She dragged that foot like rhythm owed her something. Never missed a beat. Locals called it the ghost waltz. Said if you showed up drunk enough, you'd see her, spinning in the corner, alone, but never off tempo. Hank saw her, twice. Said she whispered, "Never dance with a man who counts his steps." That's all. Didn't ask for help. Didn't bleed or scream, just twirled on those warped old boards, wearing her stubborn like perfume. Someone tried to burn the place down once. Didn't take. Now the jukebox plays itself every third Thursday. Only waltzes, only in minor key. The third microfiction piece was inspired by the word prompt, blue bonnet. This prompt takes me to the idea of fleeting beauty, things that bloom but only for a moment, and how we hold on to those brief moments. Let's hear how it unfolds. We'd always fought over the blue bonnets. Who saw them first? Who could keep the others from picking them? The way they turned the whole world blue, even the dirt. She said they were a symbol. Of Texas, of us, of the kind of love that only grows in stubborn places. I said they were just flowers, pretty, but temporary. One spring, she didn't show up at the field, just left a note, gone to the coast. I waited. The blue bonnets bloomed, just like they always did, but there was no one to fight over them with. The air smelled like salt water and rain. A storm rolled in, and by the time it passed, the flowers were gone, like they always were. The next spring, I went back, stood there for an hour. The field was empty, except for the breeze that tried to make its own songs. She never came back, but I remember her in that moment, just for a second, when the world felt blue and I couldn't say goodbye. Let's turn our attention to some original poetry that I'm excited to share. Here are three poems that are a result of fantastic writing prompts over the last week or so. Each one a unique reflection of the creative sparks that have ignited within me. This first poem comes from the word prompt, shift. This prompt can be interpreted in so many ways, anything from literal movement to deeper emotional changes that we go through over time. For this piece, I thought about those moments when something feels like it's slipping, when a person or a situation changes in small ways until suddenly you realize it's all different. I wanted the poem to capture that quiet, unsettling transformation, almost like the world shifting beneath your feet. Let's take a listen. She peeled off pieces, the pinky ring, her name, the way she used to watch headlights. By the third drink, I knew. Wasn't heartbreak, just a shift, like ground giving way under sneakers. She said wind could rewire your thoughts. I let her finish mine, watched her hand fade into fog. No sunrise. Maybe it quit. The second poem comes from the word prompt, escapade. This word brings to mind adventure, mischief, and the kind of spontaneity that only shows up when you're ready to break all the rules. Here's how it plays out. She called it an escapade, I called it Wednesday. We hopped a fence meant to keep in stories we weren't supposed to know. The pool was empty. The moon was not. She danced in her boots, cowboy hat spinning, laughing like she stole something from silence. I played lookout, poorly. Somewhere, a siren grew bored. We ran, not fast, not far, but with purpose. Backseat confessionals, wet jeans, her lipstick on my collarbone like graffiti. "Don't write this down," she said, which meant, "Remember it forever." The third poem was inspired by the word prompt, see. This prompt is all about perception, how we look at the world and how the world looks back at us. I wanted this piece to capture how things we choose to focus on distort reality, like a window with cracks we can't quite fix. Let's dive in. She never saw it coming. The window, cracked, but not enough to stop the rain. She said, "Sometimes you see what you want, not what's there." And I thought, maybe she was right. But the glass had a way of bending light. The world was always there, just warped, just enough to make you think it wasn't yours. She tried to fix it, the crack, the view, the half dream she kept chasing like a shadow. But you can't fix what you can't see. Not really. So I watched her disappear through that window, clearer in the mist than I'd ever known. I'm excited to share my own take on the writing prompt from episode 9, which was the word snark. So without further ado, here is my poetic response. A creature of wit and remark, it hides in the tone, cold and stark. It grins when you slip, lets fly with a quip, then vanishes into the dark. While that gave us a taste of snark in rhyme, cheeky, sharp, and slippery, what happens when the snark stops being just a tone and starts showing teeth? Here is my microfiction response. It started as a laugh in the dark, sharp, wrong, too clever. Then came the mutterings, the riddles with bite. We called it the snark once it grew claws. Now it waits by the mirrors, feeding on punchlines and pride. I hope you enjoyed those. This week's writing prompt is a story idea, The Plush Poltergeist. This eerie gem comes from the Brainstorium podcast, hosted by Anna Tizard. You can find more of her prompts and creative mischief at annatizard.com. That's annatizard.com. As always, I'd love to see what you come up with. Share your response on Blue Sky using the hashtag PromptedPodcast. Flash fiction, poetry, a single wild line, whatever the prompt sparks. I'll feature a few standouts in the next episode, so don't be shy. Let's make this weird together. Happy writing. Thank you for listening to another episode of Prompted, where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. Be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, or find us on your favorite podcast platform.